Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
Good morning, Irvine. This is Ryan Foland, a.k.a. DJ Ginger MC, and we are bringing it to you for the last Get Notified show of the year. It's been an amazing year, and I've got an amazing guest who leads from the heart, and we have a special show today in honor of kind of the holidays and caring and just sort of more attention towards your heart in general, the thing that's bumping inside your chest. I've got Heidi Hubbling.
That's correct. Yeah, oh. You just right spot on.
Very humbling for me to get that right on the first try. So this is probably the first of a few bad jokes today, so it's okay. As long as you laugh through the awkwardness, then we're all good. You wear a few hats. You are the director of the Precelerator program, and you're the director of marketing and business development for a top Southern California business law firm called Stubbs, Alderton, and Markley's.
Correct.
Sweet.
So I've been in the LA market for about 10 years and worked with Stubbs, Alderton, and Markley's for that entire time. And most of the time, you know, up until the last 4 years, it was as their director of marketing and business development. And then about 4 years ago, we kind of saw a gap in the market for early stage startup companies that weren't able to get into the larger accelerators and get those really valuable resources. So we had, you know, huge network and adequate space within our Santa Monica office. And so I founded the Precelerator program, which is a trademark term, but what it is an accelerator for early stage startup companies. So we get them set up legally, provide them with the legal services, provide them with 24/7 office space, access to a perks package that's worth about $250,000 per company to kind of cut overhead costs and give them a long runway. And then we have a network of 50 mentors that come in weekly or biweekly on a regular basis to provide free office hours and discounted services outside of office hours to kind of build the team, get the company set up. So we teach them how to run a business, how to understand their financials, how to do their pitches, how to, you know, network with investors, all that important early stage startup stuff.
So you're
it's been really rewarding.
You're pretty much Santa Claus for early stage startups.
Ho, ho, ho.
Seriously, you were basically listing out the ultimate startup Christmas list, right? Give me $250,000 in services. Give me some pitching lessons. Give me some space. Give me this. Give me that. I like that. You guys should brand yourself as Santa Claus for early stage startups.
I'll get on that in January. That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, you can prep for next year. Now, again, Santa Claus, but also Mrs. Claus, okay? I'm the biggest feminist that I know, and I think that Mrs. Claus is just as important behind the scenes because she's got to deal with Santa stress. So let's keep that in mind.
Right. So my mom always said that, you know, that my dad is the head of the household, but that she's the neck. I'm not saying that about me, but no, I think that it's an honor to be a female founder, a female professional that's able to. So I do a lot of work, you know, through the Precelerator with supporting women founded companies, help, you know, introducing them to fundraising and providing them with resources that they need too. So I think that's an important point.
That is rad. I think that there have been way too many just male talking heads in business, and it's good to get some solid necks in there that also have a head full of long, luscious hair or short, spiky hair, whatever you want. You know what I mean? Well, one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you on the show today is to kind of introduce this really cool concept that both you and I are now involved in, whether we like it or not, for this entire next year, along with 12 other people. And the concept is this Heart-Centered Tech Award. I first heard about it when I was at a Pay It Forward event with Brian McMahon, and they called him up on stage and gave him this oversized eagle trophy that was like patriotic in flavor. The concept really struck me at the time as something super cool, and I wouldn't have imagined that fast forward a year, and now I'm sort of sharing in that, I want to say, honor and responsibility. But this concept of the heart-centered tech, and you can check it out, heartcenteredtech.com. Basically, it's a peer-to-peer leadership award, and it awards people in the community and organizations that lead from the heart. I mean, what a cool concept. The award is basically passed on from recipient to nominee, and this year they did a little different because last year, each month, the leader would pass it off to somebody else, which is really cool. And then to sort of jumpstart the whole program, each person that was nominated last year made a nomination this year, and now there's 14 leaders that are heart-centered tech leaders out there, and we got four major events that are going to be coming up. I'm just curious to have that idea of leading from the heart, how that works for you, how that can be communicated through social media, how important that is for startups, how important it is for women in business, for men in business, and for Santa Claus in business, right? I mean, he's got a big heart. But I think, so who was the person that had nominated you, and maybe give a little backstory on why you think you were chosen?
Sure. So first of all, you are so deserving. So Ryan also was nominated for the award, and you give back to the community so much too. So very, very, very deserving on your part. So Esprit Devora, who is the founder of We Are LA Tech, nominated me, I guess it was probably about in August or so, for this upcoming 2017 year. And I was just blown away because I think that the concept of heart-centered tech I had been involved in because our managing partner had also been nominated last year. And so I was, you know, aware of what it entailed and what it meant. And I just thought that what a great idea to build a community of people that the gift from the heart that aren't just about business, but they're about providing value to entrepreneurs and to other people in the community and creating a network of, you know, of heart-centered, caring individuals. For me, like, one of the things that I love most about my job is that I get to give back to these companies and kind of act like cheerleader, or they call me the startup mom.
Okay.
And because I love to nurture the companies and I love to see them succeed, and whatever resources we don't have, I'll try to find for them. And I think, you know, through social media, I think that that's actually been a pretty important avenue, like for the Precelerator program. I think that social media is something that as individuals and as businesses, that's what helps create our brand in the most powerful way and creates communities surrounding our brands. So one of the things that I've always done is, as cheerleader or startup mom for these companies, is that I, whatever the successes are for, whether they be for the firm clients or for, and mostly for the Precelerator companies, is that when they launch, when they get funded, when they get strategic partners, I do social media blasts so that people are aware and bring brand awareness to those companies and use our outreach and our network to kind of bolster their user acquisition and brand awareness and just give them props, you know, and be that support for them. And I think that's so important.
I think that's great. I'm taking some notes here because I like to listen and then talk. And you've brought up a couple interesting points about social media is used for brand building, for creating a community. I typically make stuff up a lot, like as in not like make it up like it's fake, but just sort of make it up on the spot. This idea that you talked about, you said when they do something, when they do this. So I'm going to come up with a new term here that you have just, we're equal partners in this, okay? Like, actually, I'll give you like 51% so you can decide where it goes, but I still want to be on the train. we'll talk about this maybe in detail in a little bit, but I'm going to call them when they blasts. I don't know if that works yet, but it's, or maybe just when they posts. And the idea
I
is
like
that,
it with a capital W.
Yeah, like when they ... Because I was typing and you're like, when they do this, I was like, when they, and then next line, when they do this, I was like, wait a minute, there's a strategic social media post that now we can call the when they post right? So if somebody does something great, like, wow, when they achieve a certain milestone, there's an excuse to post a when they post.
Right So I think that's something that I teach. Not, I mean, I do myself for the companies, but I also teach the companies. So that for press and PR, and which also goes into social media, is that, yeah, so whenever, use every excuse you can for, you know, every milestone that you make to have those type of blasts or those type of press opportunities to bring awareness, brand awareness.
Yeah, maybe we could call it the
when they is totally appropriate.
Yeah, maybe it could be like when they ... because for some reason when they blasts almost sounds like too violent.
Yeah. When they ... wait, that's much better.
Right, when they ... Oh, what kind of? Oh, hold on a minute. I've got to do a when they ... post real quick. Before we get too far into this, let's do some selfish plugging real quick. I'm gonna plug UCI and KUCI because you are listening to 88.9 KUCI in Irvine. And to find us on Twitter, go to twitter.com and check out KUCI FM. Then you've got Instagram at KUCI FM. We're also on Tumblr as well as Facebook. Now, there's a few Facebooks, but the one we're trying to point people to is KUCI 889. And you can find me. I like to tweet. I'm a tweeter. And you can find me at my name, which is at Ryan Folland. And then if you like little stick figure daily drawing inspirational quotes, or you are obsessed like I am about Sharpie markers, you can follow me on Instagram, and that is Ryan.Folland. And imagine that the difference between my Twitter and Instagram is that you've taken a Sharpie marker and you've put a dot in between my names. And that wasn't on purpose, but I just made that up now, so I feel good about that. And I'm on Facebook, but I don't really like Facebook. It just helps me waste too much time during the day. I try to work Facebook just for when I ... posts. How do we find you? We recently connected on Twitter, and maybe give some plugs of how people can find you, because our guests are pretty interactive and they like to tweet us up.
Absolutely. So I am also on Twitter. You can either find me at my name also, so at Heidi Hubling, no dot, just Heidi Hubling. And also Alderton.
You should have an Instagram that's your name dot, just because maybe that's what people are doing.
Or Heidi ...
I love it. So I spoke over the business Twitter. What was that again?
The business Twitter is at Stubbs Alderton. So at and then STUBBSALDERTON. And you can also find me at our Precelerator website. So you can find out more information about that, which is precelerator.com. So it's precelerator.com. And fill out applications, find out about our offerings. We're always accepting applications on a rolling basis.
You hear that, people? If you asked Santa for anything substantial and you are not going to get it because of financial reasons or you've been bad, start a startup, go to the Precelerator, and you can get delivered $250,000 plus other stuff, right?
Right, exactly right.
That's an interesting concept. So many people have ideas, but they just don't do anything with them. And a lot of times I think they're fearful that it will be stolen. But gosh, get out there. I like to tell people your idea is useless unless it actually happens. And so it's funny in the startup world. I think what would be really fun today is to talk about startups and social media, because that's a great topic that you can speak very highly to. And I want to add the ... with a heart, because I really like this theme of heart-centered social media. Too oftentimes it's looked at just like a job, or it's annoying, or if there's individuals out there, they just still don't get it. So here at Get Notified, we want to cater to people that are good at social media, want to get better, people who are still confused by social media, and people that absolutely hate it. And hopefully we have a number of hate followers or hate listeners. We're slowly turning them on to this new platform, which basically is a set of tools to communicate. So if we were going to spend the next 45 minutes, and let's pretend that you had an early stage startup that you would be working with, maybe we can go through some of what you would help guide them through from a social media strategy. And we can obviously go on any tangents that we want. Do you find startups that come to you that aren't on social media or need to have more of a social media presence? And how do you first evaluate the right social media, or just where to start?
Sure. So I think that, as I mentioned, social media is the least expensive way to start creating your brand. Probably the most efficient way, too, because most social media platforms and posts, the whole world is content-driven. So everything that goes on social media, majority of it is searchable on Google as well. So whenever I get an early-stage startup, most of the companies actually that come into our program have limited or no social media presence. The first thing that they have to decide is who their target market is. So if they're looking to target millennials, people that are, say, in the fashion industry or other startup companies. You don't want to waste your time and be on all social networks, right?
If you have a specific type of... Yeah, right there for a minute. This is great because I think we've said this and we've heard this a few times. I want to say this again. What I'm hearing you say is that it's not about being on all social medias.
Right. Right. I think that it's so important to as a startup, you have a zillion things to do. And so you want to have the most efficient use of your time and money and resources and get the best bang for your buck and ROI for your time, right? So I think that, like I said, you want to find out who your target market is. Who are you wanting to reach by using social media? By doing that, so if you are a fashion company, if you are a millennial, maybe not. I mean, you could use Facebook. I mean, Facebook is pretty broad as far as the market is concerned, but you definitely want to use Instagram. You definitely want to use Pinterest. You definitely, for the millennial crowd, would want to use Snapchat. Not necessarily for fashion, but for the millennial crowd.
So you're talking about this sort of a marketing matrix.
Right.
So a marketing matrix based on who your demographic is first, find out where mm-hmm. they are, and then go to that area.
Right, right. And then target with specific content, with specific messages. If you're for instance, we are a professional services law firm. We're a business law firm. So my time isn't best spent going to Instagram or Pinterest or Snapchat. My time is best spent tweeting on Twitter and doing content posts on Facebook and we use Google Plus. I don't know if anybody uses that anymore, but we still have posts on Google Plus, on LinkedIn. It's actually a great tool, and I teach a class on this, and I'll be doing it in January, on how to utilize LinkedIn. And I think that that's actually one thing, and it's a separate topic from the marketing matrix, but LinkedIn is really great for a startup in building their network and building brand awareness to the people that have the bucks, have the money, that they can keep the people that can give them good referrals and strategic partnerships apprised of their successes.
I like that. Maybe we'll have you back and we can just do an intensive class on LinkedIn. How important do you think LinkedIn is for a ranking? Or is it, again, you have to refer to the matrix and it's not a relative matter, it's just if it works for you. Do you think that that's something that everybody should have as like a staple?
Yeah, I think there should be absolutely no startups that don't have a LinkedIn. I think every single startup founder needs to have a LinkedIn. They need to have they need to be active on it as far as spend 10 or 15 minutes a day going through the suggested contacts, find people that are connected to your network that could be useful and can provide value to your startup or to your idea, or that you can provide value to them, quid pro quo, and build that network so that you're building a startup isn't just about building the brand of the startup, it's about building your personal brand also and creating your professional network. And people that you may run into at networking events, always add them to LinkedIn. They may not be a resource to you at that moment, but 6 months down the road, a year down the road, a week down the road, they may, you want to be first in mind to them so they can come back and say, hey, remember that company, remember that founder? I think this would be a good fit for your fund, or I think this would be a great strategic partnership for you if they have referrals for you. So it's about, LinkedIn is just on the professional side, on the service provider and building your network side is so important, where the other social media platforms are important for getting users, building brand awareness more than it is a personal thing.
I like that. Now, I know a lot of people, individuals are on LinkedIn, but you're also mm-hmm. suggesting that these individuals who have startups start a company page on LinkedIn. Is that what you're saying?
I think that for the company pages, I think that it depends on the type of company. I think that more importantly, it's the founders that they keep their LinkedIns active and updated and show, like put their company. They could create a company page just purely so that when they put the company name on their personal LinkedIn profile, that there's something to link to. But I don't think that the company page necessarily for a startup company needs to be active.
Gotcha. So it's more the individual.
The founder.
Yeah, the founders.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I'm going to ask this question for each of the platforms we touch, and it's a super high pressure situation since we are live on air and there's probably 100 million people listening to us right now. But how does one, whether they are a startup founder or an individual, let's exclude Santa Claus for the moment, how do you LinkedIn with a heart? How do you communicate that you have these sort of heart-centered values, or what is maybe one or two ways that you can incorporate that kindness or that community feel when you're doing LinkedIn? Because it's a very corporate feel. How do you humanize yourself in a way that gets people to know that you're more than just a product or more than just a service? Do you have any suggestions on that?
Sure. I think that, you know, it's partially the content that you're posting, you know, so being an advocate for heart-centered causes, for being a proponent of, you know, that's one of the actual benefits of this heart-centered tech network, is that we can be a proponent of other heart-centered leaders. For instance, like I could go to your LinkedIn, Ryan, and there's a section for recommendations.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things is without expecting anything in return, I think part of being heart-centered is providing value first without, you know, looking for gaining business. It's not always a quid pro quo thing, or you know, you don't always get a return on it. But I think it's about doing the right thing. And I think that, you know, I could go to your LinkedIn profile and do one of the written recommendations about how you are a heart-centered tech leader and how you give back to the community, just so that it brings awareness to the things that you're doing and the value that you're providing. And I think that can be done with all of the different heart-centered tech leaders. And I think that, you know, that's pretty important. And also, I think, you know, as I mentioned, like being a proponent of other companies in the community that are doing great things, and doing it because you want to be an advocate for them, not because you want anything in return.
I love that. And speaking of that, I have our little playbill from the other night, which is a really fun event, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And I am not looking for anything in return here, but if you are in front of a computer, get ready to type. If you're in front of a pad of paper, if you still write, then that's cool. By the way, just a total ginger sidetrack. Have you seen that new notepad and pen that you actually write, and the pen has a camera on it, and it scans it while you write it, and then puts it onto your phone or your computer or your tablet?
I haven't seen that.
Super cool, techie, geeky kind of Christmas present if you want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I forget the name of it. You'll have to search for like a pen that writes, and it actually is like futuristic. It just scans exactly. You can write and go back and forth and spend a whole meeting. It patches together the actual page that you wrote like as a scanned copy. It's crazy.
So does it, even like with the people that write Chicken Scratch, I mean, it has that kind of recognition?
No, it really recognizes cool. Exactly what's written. So if you write Chicken Scratch, you'll get Chicken Scratch on your iPad.
So special kind of font.
Yeah, special Chicken Scratch font. Actually, I challenge Microsoft, get a Chicken Scratch font out there, because I think that would be actually funny. It could be a way of decoding your notes.
I second that.
Do we have all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Oh.
I can't vote twice.
No, you can't vote twice. Hey, okay. we run fair elections here in the United States, okay? Whether you like the outcome or not.
Right.
We're not going there, though. It's Christmas. Let's be nice. And I want to give just a verbal nomination. I'm looking at the paper. Mm-hmm. It says nominees. I want to read off the list of these heart-centered tech nominees. And if you're out there and you want to connect with people in the community that are giving back, the best way to do that is to find out what people are already doing and support them. So here it goes. And I'm going to butcher these, so I apologize. But we've got Miranda Pleasant, Mr. Ryan Foland, which is me, Stella Scallion, Delia Piano, Buck Jordan, Kevin Winston, Kimberly King Burns, Jack Dangermond, Chet Pimpkin, Gemma Busani, Gianna Wurzi, Zach Sikar, Heidi Hubling, yay, Pocket Sun, and Jessica Wilson. I'm not going to go through them again because that was awkwardly slow and dry, but the idea is that these are people out there who are really doing things with their heart first, and it's fun to recognize them. I'm not expecting anything in return, and it's to your point of how to use LinkedIn as a professional platform. It's crucial, but at the same time, the way you can use LinkedIn with a heart-centered LinkedIn is to send recommendations to people that you feel are doing something that's great in the community, supporting causes or organizations that are heart-centered, and help to amplify their message. And you essentially get that halo effect. It makes you feel good, And it helps with your brand, whether or not it has to do with building community, the community will see that you have a heart. Right? Because sometimes social media is so stagnant, or it's just all a bunch of humble brags or bragging and whining, and it gets annoying sometimes. So I think it's, I like to keep my posts positive just because there's so much negativity out there. I think that works. So we have this, to recap, if you're just joining us, you're here at Get Notified. We've got Heidi on the phone, who is a heart-centered tech leader of 2017. And we're pretending like there's a startup that we're stepping through the initial processes of what platforms to be on and how to use them, dot, 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 with their heart in mind. You mentioned that it's not important to be on all social platforms, but it's important to be on the right ones. And the right ones are where the people are that you want to get in front of. So really doing a marketing, a market research exercise, then finding out where those demographics are online, that's your first hint as to what social media to sign up for. With the one exception, that's LinkedIn, because everybody should be on LinkedIn for the reason of being found and connecting and building that network.
Very good.
Cool. Pretty good. All right. So we've got this idea now. We've got a startup. We've figured out who their market is, and we've helped them to establish a basic presence on these platforms. Ooh, here's a little ginger tip. Have you heard of, and this is just because I've made this mistake. You know, I'm at Ryan Folland on Twitter, and I'm Ryan.Folland on Instagram. This is very frustrating for me, but I want to help you avoid that frustration. There is a website called namecheck.com. I don't get paid by them. It's a free service. Heidi, you should check this out. Namecheck.com. In one spot, you can type in whatever social media handle it is that you are thinking about, right? Like Danny Man Rocks 2017 or Ryan the Ginger-Headed Bobble, whatever you think you want to be called, you can check it on all platforms at once.
That's pretty handy.
It's pretty handy. Because that's probably a big challenge. It's like, how do you guide people through choosing handles?
Well, right, and how do you, what do you do when the handles are already taken for the for the company that you have, and that's your brand? Or even, I mean, I have companies that come in and they have their brand name trademarked, but they have, you know, there's somebody else that reserved a Twitter account because they wanted to name their company that, but never used it, or never went forward with their business idea. And think that.
What are some best practices for choosing handles and dealing with the emotional side of somebody stealing your identity?
I think that Stay Calm, but no, I think that the website that you mentioned, I haven't heard of that, but I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's a great way to, you know, a one-stop shop to find out, you know, which handles that you can use. I think, you know, on different social media sites, I think consistency is really important, just for, you know, ease of use. So like, so that they don't have to go back and look. They can search for you on all sites and don't have to go back and look specifically whether you have a dot, whether you have a dot dot dot, or you have initial caps, or, you know, some other type of, you know, emoji at the end on your Twitter account. I mean, there's.
Ooh, what do you think about emojis as part of your handles? Is that becoming popular?
I really dislike it. I have people that are on LinkedIn and on Twitter that use, and I think that it makes it really difficult for you to be found. I think that's one of the things that if your company is, you know, XYZ company, you want to call your Twitter handle something with XYZ company, whether it just be XYZ company or go XYZ company or get XYZ company. I think that consistency across all platforms is good, but make it easy for people to find you. I think that we've had companies that, you know, that weren't able to get the company name. And one of the things that it's difficult to do,
hey,
and you're not always going to get the results you
Heidi,
want.
Oh, Heidi, I'm going to interrupt you because the phone line is coming on. We might have somebody that wants to chirp in. Let's see here. I'm just going to patch him right in and see what happens. I'm going to answer and then patch them in. Uh-oh. See, I knew it. Heidi, are you there? You know what? I'm going to blame it on the technology. This is actually a good tip. If anything goes wrong in your life, blame it on someone else or a piece of technology and then forgive them later. So somebody else is calling in again. They are tenacious. So I'm going to do here, here, and up. Hello. Are you there?
Hello. Yeah. Good morning. Who's this?
What? I had you on. That's not fair. Talk to me.
Sorry, getting dropped again. I'm back, though.
Good. So if the person calls again, I will try, but let's continue on with what you're talking about. I might not even... I mean, this is exciting. People are calling in, but I think I need, that's it. I'm going to ask Santa for an assistant. I had two assistants, and then they all took classes on Wednesday morning this quarter, and now they're off on break. So if you were out there calling, give me one more chance, and I will probably hang up on you, but the third time is usually the charm. Okay, but it's not my fault. It's the phone patch's fault, and I'll forgive the phone patch by the end of the day.
That's so, very heart-centered.
Very. if blaming people and forgiving them is not heart-centered, I don't know what is, people. Especially when it's a piece of technology. All right, I'm all flustered, and I've got my ginger blood rushing. We were talking about handles, I believe.
Yeah. So I just was mentioning that. So if the handle, say on Twitter, isn't available, one of the things services that Twitter has is that you can email, say that you find that the XYZ company is being was reserved by somebody but isn't being used, or hasn't been used in a substantial amount of time. You can email Twitter and try to get that Twitter handle, get it back, and have it, you know, become independent so that you can pick it up again.
Very cool. You know, it's a funny story about Twitter is in 2008, my buddy Ed Hayward said, Ryan, you got to be on this thing. It's awesome. And he's like, I'm having coffee right now. So I did 4 tweets and that was it. I was just like, this is the stupidest thing ever. And I just left my account. And then a couple years ago, I realized how important it is. So I was dormant from 2008 until 2014 or 15. I couldn't get the Twitter back because I didn't have access to the email that was the recovery for the password.
Oh no.
It was a company I ran at the time. So I went back on GoDaddy. I found that obviously nobody wanted FolandFinancial.com. So I repurchased the domain, set up Google Apps, set up a new email just so I could retrieve the password and get my handle back from 2008.
That's dedication.
That is hustle. And then here I am 2 years later, and I actually just got verified on Twitter yesterday. It was pretty exciting.
That's very exciting. Yeah. It took me a long time. I always used it professionally for Stubbs Alderton, but but on a personal level, I always thought, I don't have enough to say. It was always my excuse. Other than I'm always saying so much about, business things, I don't have, don't have enough to say, but I realize how important it is, for a personal brand too. So about 6 months ago or so, I added my own Twitter. So I'm getting on that boat too.
That's interesting. I mean, you can work at a company and be active on Twitter from the company standpoint, doing a whole bunch of when they ... posts.
Right.
But then you still think, I mean, what you just said, and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, but I think this is important for people that are listening. You are a successful businesswoman. You're at this high-powered attorney firm. You're helping and running their Twitter, and there's all kinds of activity there. But still, at that same moment, you don't think you have enough to say yourself. And that's
right.
It's kind of crazy, right? I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way. I'd be curious what was the decision process to get you past that? Because I think so many people are stuck there like, well, I don't know what to say, right? I mean, that's legitimate.
Right, and I think that something that it was an epiphany to me was my job. I'd been with the firm for so long, it was becoming kind of my, I don't want to say my identity, but I was doing, everything as a proponent for the firm, which is very important, to build your business. I was forgetting about my own personal brand and not realizing that for my professional, long-term future as an individual, that I needed to make sure that I had a good foundation, that I had a good network, and so it wasn't just, on Twitter, it was, I was always fairly active on LinkedIn, but it was on using the other social networks to start being a proponent of myself and the relationships that I have and the successes that the companies that I work with, are having and the successes that I'm personally having. And it doesn't just have to be about having a funny quip on social media. That was when on Twitter, I always thought, well, I'm a smarty pants, but I always thought that, you have to have something really interesting to say, or you can't just be reposting articles that you've read. That's not necessarily true. It's just about being active and having content and being engaged.
Have you ever heard the phrase, a cobbler with no shoes?
Yes.
Okay, I just made up a new one. Here we go. This is number two for the day. The tweeter with no tweets. Right? I mean, it's kind of the same concept. You're so focused.
Same kind of concept.
I mean, especially with entrepreneurs, you're so focused on your business and your business and your business, and you're building your Twitter and you're building your Facebook and your profile page, but you are the entrepreneur with no tweets, right? Or you're the tweeter with no tweets of yourself. And that's this whole personal brand concept, where I'm such a big believer, and a lot of what I do is help teach people how to build their personal brand, because the argument is your business means nothing unless nobody knows who you are. When you work for 6 months to a year on a startup and then it blows up, all that work invested in gaining fans and followers and people who love your content just goes away. And sometimes it's so abrupt that you kind of like, you want to stay far away from it and you can't even associate with it. So it's a shame.
I think that social media is really great, because I think that one of the reasons, you know, building your personal brand, I think that one of the reasons that a lot of times people will work with a company, will want to be strategic partners, will want to invest, I think one of the main reasons is because it's a people business, right? It's a business about liking the individual, or not even necessarily personally liking the individual. They can be difficult to get along with, but if you believe in what they're doing and you believe in that person, even if it's an idea that's really early stage, that doesn't have legs, that doesn't have all of the resources that it needs, if you believe in that person and that team, you're more apt to take the risk and invest your time and invest your money in that person or team to build that business. And so I think it's a people first concept. And I think that's why building your personal brand is so important, is that people need to know who you are and the reason why you founded your company. And if you're a heart-centered tech leader, you know, the things that you're doing to give back to the community so people can get behind you and be, you know, your personal proponent.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And people in the startup consulting world, we talk about, it's really about the jockey, not the horse.
Exactly.
And investors know that. So if you are the jockey, but you don't have your own social media accounts, gingerjockey.com or whatever, you can't create or share that story. And I think it's really about telling your story. Have you heard of, from a content creation standpoint, one of my favorite strategies is the 411. Have you heard of that?
I believe so, but refresh my memory.
It's the guy, Joe Paluzzi, who's pretty much the grandfather or godfather of content marketing. Really fun story. A wife and two kids quit his job, had this amazing startup idea, and realized after he quit that it would take at least 9 months to a year before even the first prototype could even happen. And he was in a really tough predicament, but what he decided to do is start building an audience. And his concept is that if you build an audience first, you can sell them whatever you want. And that became the basis for his book, Content Inc. If anybody wants an amazing social media book, Content Inc. And his strategy of the 411 is that for every 6 posts, and he came up with this for Twitter, but I believe it's applicable across the board. For every 6 posts, it's okay that you share or retweet an existing piece of content 4 times, like retweet, quote, retweet, like, share, 4 of them. For every 4 that you like or share, you should have 1 piece of original content, a blog, a thought piece, a video, something that you've put a little bit of time into and we learn about you. And then if you have 4 shares of other people and 1 original piece of content, it allows you the right to ask for 1 thing. That could be follow me on my Facebook. It could be join my webinar. It could be download my free app. But the problem is sometimes people run to social media and just they become the boy who cried wolf or the girl who cried wolf. And you just ask, and people will get annoyed with you. So this 411 is an easy strategy, because basically for every six tweets, one of them is an original and one of them is an ask. So it's a give, ask strategy. And when you think of it like that, it's not about you not having things to say. It's about finding things that are inspiring or finding things that you like and you want to share and or have value for other people, then coming up with 1 piece of content that you are proud of and then ask people for something. I think that's a really fun strategy to get people off of that fence of, oh, I don't have anything to say.
Right, exactly. And I think that's such an important tool, and it's great psychology. I mean, human psychology, that people will engage with you if they feel that you've made the first step and you've made the first move to engage with them. So I think that the give part on social media and in life is really important.
There you go. So the question of how do you tweet with a heart-centered mind, it's give, share, and then ask if
and
you want
ask.
To.
Yeah. If you need it.
Maybe your ask can be supporting another group to amplify their heart-centered tech, right? Hey, support this Indiegogo, or check out this really cool organization. They have an event going on. And that's still valuable, and you get the halo effect. And time will tell, or your followers will tell you if they like it or not. And that's what's so great about Twitter, is that I live in my analytics like once a week. And if you don't know about that, you go to analytics.twitter.com and it shows you the best performing tweets. So guess what? It helps you to guide the content for the following week. If you see something that's not working, delete it or get rid of it. So there's a good trial and error that the analytics are so crazy that you can just instantly see what's working and what's not.
That's an important tool. And I think that most of the social media platforms, I know Facebook has it for their ads. They don't have it for your general posts. I don't believe not as much, unless it's a sponsored or promoted ad. Analytics and the data on the back end is really, it's really what's important. It teaches you the right wording, the right keywords. Like you said, like what works, and that's a good way to stay efficient with so many different platforms out there.
Okay, so we've got people understanding first they need to know who their market is in order to choose the platforms.
Right.
With the exception of LinkedIn. Get on LinkedIn because Heidi says so.
That's right, right now.
Right now. That's tough love. That's a tough love heart, right?
Tough, right.
Heart-centered tough love tech. Hashtag.
Right.
And then once you've got that situated, I think really our last conversation was about don't be afraid that you have nothing to say. Because you're on these platforms now, you've got to start tweeting. But don't be intimidated, because you can share other people's stuff, coming up with one of your own and then asking and supporting.
Yep.
So from a strategy standpoint, okay, Heidi, I've got my social media platforms. I'm not super scared, but now what? I mean, it's such a dark black hole out there. Where do people even start, really?
So for their business, I think, figure out what you want to say. So if you're an early stage company and you don't have users and you don't have a platform, you don't have an app yet, you don't have, you're an idea, you're getting ready to launch, you're building your team, you're wanting to create awareness before you get your app to market so that you then can have immediate users, which I think is important. So that's where content comes in. And content, not only on social media, but it can start on your blog. So if you don't have a website, create a landing page, create a second sub page with a blog on it so that you have consistent content. And then you can take that content that you're writing, and don't make it a novel when you're writing a blog. Make it 500, 300 words or less. I call them teasers. They're things to get pique people's interest, give them a little bit of education, and bring them to your website. And that's another thing that social media is great for. So if you have that content that you're putting on your blog, tweet it. Take it and tweet it with the tagline, with a title, with a link back to your website. So then, not only are they reading your blog, but they can sign up to be on the waiting list for the app that's coming out. So you're driving and you're also acquiring a waiting list for users. And you have the content because the content is about whatever your idea is. If you're writing content about, surrounding the industry, if you're doing a virtual reality, I don't know, some type of a marketing or a marketplace type app.
Yeah, something.
Whatever the idea is, you can write about the industry happenings, write about what your competition is doing and how you're better and what you bring to the table that they're not doing. The progress, things where you are, maybe successes or needs, so that people can keep apprised and they can follow you and be part of your story.
Wow, that was some serious truth bomb, nugget grenades. And if I'm sitting here challenged because I'm taking notes, but I also just kind of want to sit back and listen to it. You just created, we need to come up with the Heidi Hub content theory, which is using those elements that you just had, package it into a little thing. We'll put some numbers to it. It'll be like the 3-2-1 strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're basically saying, just if you don't have any traction, focus on content, and all that content is basically sharing with the world why you are looking to start this business. And if there's, I guess if you don't have enough content to do that, then you should really rethink your startup, right?
Right, because I think that it's about being creative and about, you may not be able to, I think people always, they're like, oh, I have a stealth idea, but chances are somebody else is doing it, and you're not going to give your intellectual property in the blog. Like, you're not going to talk about your secret sauce. You're going to talk about everything that surrounds that idea and your personal story of why you are founding it, why you're doing this, what other people are doing, that are in that same industry or same focus.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left here. 3 is my favorite number. And I'm curious if you have any kind of final thoughts or maybe one of the most frequently asked questions that you get, maybe a monologue that you'd like to share, a TEDx that you'd like to squeeze into 3 minutes. This is any kind of final words or thoughts that, you know, as we're going in, we're ending the year here. 2016 was weird, but rocking. 2017 is going to be awesome. What is your predictions? What do you want to say for a minute or two? Throwing you under the bus.
No, this is fine. I just think that, you know, if you don't have social media, you know, on that same topic, I think if you don't have social media, if you haven't started, start somewhere. I think start with creating your personal brand on LinkedIn by just getting a page up there, starting to follow people, starting to engage in networks so that you can help build your business. Then start with content for your business, but just get it out there. Take that first step. Definitely create a blog for yourself so that it's a place for people to go back and read the content later. And I think that as far as being a heart-centered tech leader, how that ties into all of this, I think that heart-centered tech focus is just so important. And I think that people get distracted and bogged down by their businesses and their startups and their, whether they're professional services or whether they're entrepreneurs, they get bogged down in the day-to-day thing and forget why they're doing it and why they love it and about giving back to the community and supporting other people that are going through the same process. And I think that's actually one of the things that I've heard most about the Los Angeles and the, you know, Orange County, Southern California market, is that it's so collaborative and it's very heart-centered. It's people helping people to build their businesses, to build the ecosystem. And I'm excited to be a part of that. But I think that it's something that I think for the new year to keep front of mind, to do this because, do your endeavors because you love them, build your business because you love it and you love the idea, but also be a support to the other people that are struggling to make it happen.
Wow, I'm getting goosebumps over here. Ginger goosebumps. I think I got a few extra freckles too. No, I mean, what a great heartfelt message as we're winding down the year and we're getting ready to come up to 2017, live with a purpose that is enjoyable and, more importantly, help support others, because I've really found the more you help others achieve what they're trying to do, man, it comes back and pays itself over and over and over. It's a very, yep, makes your heart feel good.
Yep, for sure.
So go out there and do something nice for somebody, create a LinkedIn recommendation for somebody that has done something that's nice. Send somebody an email and just say, hey, looking forward to supporting you in 2017. Send out a tweet, retweet somebody that maybe you think they need a little love. Keep the positive vibes and energy, because remember, no matter who is in what position in what office, it's really the individual at the end of the day that is the president of their own life. And so let's be as supportive as we can, not make America great again, but keep all the good that's in America and continue to get better and better and better. I don't like to get political, but I just felt like it right there. That's what I'm feeling. Gave me goosebumps. Hey, for heart-centered people out there everywhere, and if you're not, don't be a Grinch, because at the end of the story, the Grinch comes back. He has a heart. Heidi, this has been so much fun. And on the count of three, you're going to say with me, say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll try to time it exactly together. I'm sure we're going to mess it up. And then we'll cut to a little music. And this is a random CD pulled off the wall. If you're a local artist and you want to be featured at the end of my show, send me an email, ryan@ryanfolan.com. I want to feature you and give you a plug. That's my heart-centered tech for you. Okay, Heidi, on the count of three, one, two, three. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. All right. We'll see you. Thanks, KCI, for a great year, and we are out. What a fun interview of feeling good and learning. Hey, I appreciate you checking this out, and if you want to find and listen to more of these Get Notified shows, it's easy. Go to getnotified.kuci.org. This is the Ginger MC. I'm signing out. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.